You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the PharmD Money Podcast, where certified financial planner Derek Delaney brings financial education and observation to help pharmacists navigate their most important financial questions.
Welcome in PharmD Nation to episode number 87 of the PharmD Money Podcast. My name is Derek Delaney. Thank you all for joining me today. In this podcast episode, we're going to talk about a very important but obscure topic that has become very relevant in our economy as of late. And that is, what exactly is a run on a bank? So banking is one of the foundational pillars of our economic society. Without confidence in banks, really a whole lot can't be done in our economy in an efficient way. And what we've experienced over the last handful of weeks and months due to a lot of uncertainty in a few banks on the West Coast has led a lot of people to ask, is the money that they have sitting in their bank today safe? And if not, what's going to happen and what could potentially lead to a run on a bank? And in the end, what exactly is a run on a bank? So in this podcast episode, we're going to dig into all of that, and I'm going to hopefully help clear up a lot of what has happened over the last month or so and project it out to what it could mean for the remainder of this year. So first and foremost, I want to touch on the subject of Silicon Valley Bank, which has started the whole topic of banking and bank insolvency. So Silicon Valley Bank was a big bank out on the West Coast, and their primary customer were businesses and startups in the technology space. And as we know, going back to 2020 and 2021, technology in general was booming, where there was a lot of money coming in from venture capitalists to fund these businesses in order to get a piece of that equity. And so these businesses had to take that money and put it somewhere in order to allow themselves to spend it in the future. So the smart place to do that were in banks. And because Silicon Valley Bank specialized in working in the tech sector, a lot of these people ended up making their deposits into Silicon Valley Bank. And because of the boom and bust cycle of the tech sector, things were phenomenal. Deposits were huge and a lot of money was being made during 2020 and 2021. But then 2022 struck and a lot of economic activity started to slow down in the tech sector, which meant a lot of these startup businesses and a lot of these tech businesses had no revenue, or their revenue decreased substantially, which meant they needed to spend the deposits they had in their bank to keep their businesses alive. And people call that a burn rate. So they ended up spending a lot of this money faster than Silicon Valley Bank initially thought, which meant a lot of other investments that Silicon Valley had made with those deposits originally needed to be sold in order to meet these withdrawal requests from depositors. And a lot of those investments were sold at heavy losses because 2022 wasn't a great year, which meant all of a sudden now at selling at these losses, realized these losses on their books, which meant their liabilities started to exceed their assets, which equals insolvency, which is why the FDIC had to step in and take them over. And because of the boom and bust cycle of the tech sector, that's the reason why it happened so quick and why it came out of nowhere for a lot of people. So that leads me to into what happened recently with a lot of people and why they fear that their bank could be next. And that has created panic. And it has, I don't want to say forced people, but it has irrationally led them to believe that their money isn't safe because they think their bank is exposed the same way that Silicon Valley Bank was. So it leads people to walk into their financial institutions and ask to pull out a bunch of their money. And as everybody knows, it's 2023 and banks don't carry a lot of cash on them because we live in a digital society. So as people fear that their money is in jeopardy, they want to come pull that out. And as more and more people see others doing the same thing and more headlines are in the news to stoke fear about the solvency of banks, it leads more and more people to want to go and make withdrawals. And that in and of itself is considered a bank run. When a lot of people have irrational fear of their money not being able to be accessed because of problems at the bank, leads them to the bank to request full withdrawals of that money. And when a bunch of people try to do that in a short period of time, the bank can't meet those requests because those deposits are tied up in other revenue sourcing areas like loans and investment products, and it forces the bank to have to sell or take money out of those other investments at inopportune times to meet those deposits, which accelerates losses. So with that all being said, and hopefully that picture is a little more clear about what's happening, do people have the right to fear their money not being accessible? And do people have the right to fear an economic collapse like 2008? And my answer to that is no, I don't think we're anywhere close to that. And the reason for it is because 2008, there was systemic risk across the board due to mortgage and mortgage-backed securities. So if you go back to 2008, there were a lot of people making a tremendous amount of money issuing mortgages to people who, let's face it, were just not qualified to have mortgages because they either didn't have the income to be able to support those mortgage payments, or they didn't have jobs to begin with and banks didn't care because mortgage values just kept going up. Well, when 2008 happened and mortgage or at home prices went down, these mortgage and mortgage-backed securities became absolutely worthless because they were filled with a bunch of terrible loans that people were never going to be able to pay back. However, the big problem was these mortgage-backed securities were sliced and diced and sold off to other institutions all over the country. So everybody had their hand in that cookie jar, and when things collapsed, everybody got hurt. It's different this time because a lot of financial institutions don't have the same type of exposure that Silicon Valley Bank did with the boom and bust cycles that are in the technology sector. Shoot, a lot of regional banks, specifically some that are in the Midwest and down south, are actually still doing fairly well because they are conservative with their other revenue resources that deposits are allocated to. Unlike the banks that were making a tremendous amount of money who had a high exposure to the tech industry. So, do I think that people need to panic and people need to run to their bank and continue to withdraw money for long-term security? No. Do I think what we experience will be similar to 2008 at some point if it hasn't happened already at the time of this recording? No, because everybody doesn't have their hand in that cookie jar, which was mortgage and mortgage-backed securities like they did back in 2008. And the other big thing people need to realize is FDIC insurance. So FDIC insurance will come in and they will become a backstop. So will the federal government, because the U.S. Treasury is backing all of what the FDIC does. And that insures up to $250,000 of your account balance in account type. So even if you have more than $250,000 in a bank, you may have full FDIC insurance coverage depending on what type of an account and what titling of those accounts are at that financial institution. So just know that I don't think we're going to run into the same problems we did in 2008, even though headlines will stoke fear like it might, and there could be a lot of quote-unquote banking experts who might tell you otherwise. I don't think it's going to happen for a number of different reasons. I don't want to get too far into those right now. But just know, even if you have more than $250,000 at a financial institution, you may still have full FDIC insurance coverage. You may want to go in and talk to your banker to figure out if you do or not, depending on type of an account and the titling of that account. And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about is just contagion risk, and that is people panicking or creating fear within themselves because of what they see going on in other places, and that in turn forces them to make irrational decisions like trying to withdraw all their money from a bank. I think because of the speed of information in our economy that likelihood or the likelihood of that happening becomes less because people can understand faster that they aren't at as much risk as they originally thought through the speed of information being delivered, which wasn't the case back in 2008. So a lot of people were just stuck in the dark, left to consider a small amount of facts at face value without other supplemental information being able to be delivered to them as quickly as we are today. So when people panic, I think smart information will hit those people that will allow them to reconsider. And I think the contagion risk of bank runs across the country is substantially smaller today than it was back in 2008 and 2009. So with all that being said, that is what a bank run is. That is how Silicon Valley Bank played a part in all of this. And In the end, I don't think people have to panic because we're not going to experience the same type of economic volatility and disruption as in 2008. And for the majority of people listening to this podcast, your bank is probably a lot stronger than you think it is. And they're probably a lot more liquid than you think they are because of changes that had happened in banking laws and regulations going back a long time. So just know things aren't probably as bad as you think they are. If you want to learn more about FDIC insurance, go and talk to your banker because you may have more coverage than you think you have to begin with as well. If there are any topics like this or others that you want me to talk about on this podcast, email podcast@farmdfp.com. If you have any questions or want to learn more about FarmD financial planning or myself, feel free to visit farmdfp.com. Until next time, FarmD Nation, be well.
The FarmD Money Podcast is not intended to be tax, legal, or investment advice. All opinions expressed on the show are for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for tax, legal, or investment advice.